you're saved to witness. And one of the things we're trying to do here is get people loosened up for that. I believe in body ministry like we've been doing here, and we'll continue that. Whatever we teach, we'll do the body ministry, and hopefully you'll get comfortable praying for people. It's just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to do. Amen? How are you doing tonight, Allison? Pardon? I've been getting in trouble for years for doing this. I called somebody out there this morning. I forgot who it was. Do you remember?
I don't remember, but I do remember you got in trouble for that.
Oh, my gosh. I've gotten in trouble for, yeah, I can remember him. That's Bill, right? No. I don't. I got in trouble for chewing gum. I had people tell me, if I see you chewing gum anymore. I got in trouble for speaking against abortion. They said, if you ever teach on that again, I'm just not going to come here. I said, well, okay. I said, are you coming Sunday? They said, yeah, I'll be here. I said, I'm teaching on abortion Sunday. Let me tell you something. Abortion, according to the Bible, is murder. Sorry. Now, have you had an abortion? You can get forgiveness. Listen, I've done worse things than that. You can get forgiveness. Thank God that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. You know, every morning is the time to say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit because I trust you. Just have your own way with me, Father. Whatever you want to do today, just have your own way in my life. And then I say, Father, as Jesus said, somehow inundate my spirit and this morning and make it where I'm doing your will and not my own will. And then I like what Jesus said, powerful, powerful ideas. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of the Father and to complete the plan he has for my life. God wants us all to do the will of the Father, and he has a plan for each and every one of your lives. And it is our purpose here, one of our purposes, is to help you, like it says on this podium here. We got that in Canada. It says, discovering God's plan for your life. That's one thing that should happen in any church that you go to. You should be finding out who you are. Does anybody want to say anything real quick? Let me ask you this. I'm just going to ask it once. I already think I pretty well know the answer. Does anybody want to come up here and we'll lay hands on you and you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I just sang that because it goes along with what we're doing. But tell me, how are you doing, Allison? Stand up for just a moment.
Alyssa.
Alyssa. Thank you, Mary. She's been correcting me, helping me along for,
years.
Huh?
38
for 38 years now.
Yeah.
Well, Alyssa. No, Alyssa. I know. But you know, I had the joy to be at your house the other day and pray with y'all and anoint your new home. Tell me how things are going. Was there anything different happened since then?
Well, Brother Angel had came over to anoint our house. You know, we believe very firmly in getting rid of any negative energy. So we just wanted it to be, you know, just that. But it ended up being way more than that. It ended up turning into what I feel like was an exorcism of a spirit that I didn't even know I had on me. And that was the spirit of fear that I captured at a very young age, a very, very young age. And the Holy Spirit came into our house, and it was intense and very emotional. I know, just thinking about it again, goosebumps head to toe. But I gave forgiveness in that moment, and I binded up that fear, and I let it go. And since then, every day, I have felt more and more blessed, more and more in the will. I continuously am talking about, you know, things we need to change in our life. It's just like I'm a new person again. It was almost like being born again in that time. So I'm very grateful for that because I never seen it come in, but you never do know when it's going to happen. So he was very present.
Yes, he was. Thank you, sis. And praise God. How about you, Tyler? Did you? What happened when you got that? You told me a little bit about it today when I came over, and
it felt lighter in the house, and no fighting or arguing, and
no, I believe in that.
Yes, yeah, not the negative energies. I mean, it felt
there is
positive.
Negative energy. You can call it what you want to. Negative energy sounds good to me, and it'll hit you, and before you know it, you know. With the person that you're closest to, which is your mate, things just don't go right. And then they can get worse from there. But we have to take those things and check those things. And we have to be willing. One of the things I've always been willing to say in my life is I was wrong. And I practice saying that even when I'm really not sure that I was wrong. Why? Because that's a power. Because I don't hear it very often. Very seldom do I hear anybody say, hey, would you forgive me? I always say, yeah, I did that. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Now, that gets everything real right there where the Lord is, where Christianity is. It doesn't matter who you are. Sometimes the Lord will show me something that I said to somebody, or we had a little conflict. Sometimes it was years ago, and I get a place where I see them, and I say, Lord, when I see them again, I'm going to say something about that. And I said, you remember what we had some words here some years ago, and I want you to know I just want to apologize for that. I'm sorry for that. And that's a powerful thing to do. Let me tell you about that cross. It's very important. If you're going to get anything from the cross, you're going to get this. You're going to get the idea of forgiveness. You're going to learn how to let God forgive you. Because as we preach regularly, Pastor Kelly says it all the time, man, people have a hard time forgiving themselves. And it's just that doesn't do God any. God wants to forgive you. He wants to give you something new every morning. He wants, you know, we have the greatest relationship that we can have. My greatest relationship is not with anybody on earth. It's with my Father in heaven. And when he found me, I grasped onto him and I never let go. And I don't ever remember in all of my years of being a believer, I've never blamed God for things that's happened to me. I never looked at God that way. I never looked at him. I always knew there was a devil. Let me tell you, before I ever was sure about God, I knew there was a devil and I knew what harm he could do. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to understand the cross is about forgiveness. And we were there, and the Holy Spirit began to move, and somehow we were talking with Alyssa, and I said, there's some people you're going to have to forgive. And you know what? She didn't deny that. She just got right in there. And then it was like a release came in that house. Then we anointed her house. We'll be glad to anoint your house. If you want that done, you just give us a call. Just let us know. And somebody will come out there and bless your house. I believe that that's very scriptural. And you just have to understand forgiveness. You have to get the part of the cross where you receive the Lord's forgiveness. You have to understand he wants to forgive you. Before you can go on for greater things, you have to have forgiveness. Okay? And you have to understand this here. You're going to have to give forgiveness. And sometimes we don't realize, but those things that you remember that happened a long time ago and you don't feel good about them, you're still uneasy about them, check your heart and see. Ask God, is that unforgiveness? If it is, Father, help me. Help me to forgive. Pray for people. People that's hurt you and done you wrong, pray for them and ask God to forgive them. That's complete forgiveness. When you ask God to forgive your enemies for what they did to you, that is forgiveness. Let me tell you something about the anointing. It's for everybody. God wants everybody. And people from the pulpit are supposed to release that on people. And the anointing is taught, and the anointing is caught. Just being around it. Just being around certain people. And so that's what a crowd, this is a great place to learn about the move of the Holy Spirit. Is anybody warm in here? Sure, please do.
About forgive somebody for something, have you forgiven them if it comes up in your spirit again? You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. I'm going to give you the best answer for that. When that comes, yes, and here's how I'm going to answer that. See, it's not important that I read these notes and go through that. It's important that we have something here that tonight that is meaningful to you. Now, say that one more time. It's going to come up in you again. Why? Because the accuser of the brethren, the God of this world, Jesus called Satan the God of this world with a small g, the God of this world. Jesus said the God of this world is already judged. There's no hope for him. He literally is the biggest loser in all of creation because he is at this time the only person that we know by name that's going to be in the lake of fire. Now ask that question one more time. It's going to come up in you again, probably, because you have to learn how to deal with that. To forgive somebody is dealing with your life a different way. And Satan is going to try until you resist him. And when you resist him, he's going to flee from you.
So when you say to Satan, I've already dealt with that, it's under the blood.
What you do is, remember the scriptures say that we have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Yes.
And we know when that comes up again, that is pure the devil trying to get you to bring that up again. And listen here. Here's what you'll see as help, as true forgiveness. Number one, you begin to say, no, I'm not going to think that anymore. No, I'm not going to do, no, I don't believe that. No, I've forgiven that person. And then you, another thing, you don't talk about it anymore. You make a purpose in your heart not to talk about it. Because we're made in the image of God. How did God create this world? He spoke, and what he said happened. And we're made in that image, and what we say, we can have what we say. So we got to be careful what we say. So in the act of forgiveness, you don't speak it out anymore, and you bring that under the blood. And like I said this here, you say, more than saying, God, forgive me for not forgiving them, say, Father, forgive that person, like Jesus said, and give that person mercy. Jesus said this, the people that just scourged him and whipped him and put him on the cross, he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And what kind of mercy was that? What kind of mercy to say something like that? When you're wanting to forgive somebody, when you're driving down the road and those hurt feelings come up, just ask God to forgive them. Don't worry about saying, well, God, I've forgiven them. Well, that's all right, because true forgiveness is this also. It's not speaking about it anymore, and it's speaking to God about it. And if that, I promise you, if you don't speak about it, if you won't speak it, well, you don't know what they did. See, I'm guilty of this. At times, I got to get a hold of myself. You don't know what they did. Let me tell you my side of that. No. Just doesn't need it. You know, I've told you, I've had people just tell me, well, you did this and this and this. And I didn't really see that I did, but I just said I did. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? If you don't get the cross and forgiveness, you can't go very much further. You have to have this understood in your life. You have to be able to receive forgiveness from God. And don't you bring it up anymore, what you did. And people that try to pull that out of you say, you know, I don't talk about that anymore. I've been forgiven of that. And that's what you need to do. You need to realize, don't let people put you on the spot and drag you down. And then you don't speak about it anymore. And you love that person. And as that tries to come up again, because it could, you know, But I promise you this, if every time you feel hurt over that, you begin to pray for that person and say, Father, just forgive them. I just ask you again, forgive them. And that is true forgiveness. True forgiveness is when you walk away from that thing and you don't feel it anymore, because you have dealt with the devil and you have shown the devil that's I'm a born again person. Born again people forgive, and they don't hold things against others for long periods of time. And one of the things I've seen in my life and other people's lives is if you're not careful, you'll be holding for real long time things that you should have got over. Well, I don't like that person. Well, how come? Well, I don't even want to talk about it. But I'll tell you what they did to me. And then you go through that, and you know that if that's the stage you're in. Now, if you're in the stage that you still feel bad about it, bring to completion your forgiveness by continuing. You let the devil know. Two things are going to happen every time you bring that up. I'm going to ask God to forgive that person, and I'm going to witness to somebody. I'm going to share Jesus with somebody. And let me tell you, any anointing you see on anybody, including myself or anybody else, you can have on your life. Anything. You're meant to flow in the Spirit. You're meant to flow in the gifts. That's why we're teaching them. The gifts are for the body of Christ. And God wants you to feel comfortable, because if you can talk about forgiveness with somebody, that's you're witnessing to them. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and we're going to start there tonight. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This is the 120 in the upper room, Mary, the mother of Jesus included. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Something that's brought up in some of the better teachings. You don't tarry for the Holy Spirit. You don't wait and tarry. You don't ask God for it. You don't praise. We're going to get to what you do, okay? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And this is how I received the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to, I think I was backwards. I think there were times that I saw people go up, and I didn't. I was a little inhibited about that. Like, maybe everybody in here has the Holy Spirit. Well, praise God. Let's give it to somebody else. Amen? And I just, one day, I just was at my house, and I met the requirements of the Scripture of what it takes to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's really quite easy, okay? And then verse 38 there, Acts 2:38. And in Acts 2:38, Peter says unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for everybody. The second act of grace there, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's for everybody. The one that comes after me, these are the words of John the Baptist, will baptize you with water and with the Spirit. And that was Jesus. And the Spirit was given. This is when it was given. Now, we don't have to ask for it to come anymore. We don't have to wait for it to come. There's all kinds of misunderstood things about this, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the most important thing is you just, if you're thirsty enough, you just ask him and he'll give you the Holy Spirit. Now, along those lines, turn with me to Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13, three verses. Luke 11, verse 11 through 13. says this. Now, and this is Jesus reasoning with people and trying to get them to the forefront that they'll receive the Holy Spirit. And he said, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is his father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will a good father try to give you a scorpion? If you then, being natural, being evil, or being lost, being, you know, sinners, we're born sinners, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You just ask him. Now, that's understood. And I told this, if I missed anybody in here, now I was apprehensive and very, you know, about going in front of people. And I've seen it, and I've seen people lay hands on them, which is scriptural, and seen them receive the Holy Spirit. But I did have this next thing, and it got so intense inside of me. Last place, turn with me to John chapter 7 and verse 37 through 39. We read this verse, and I could read and read and read over a bunch of stuff, but this is what will help you. In the last day, that great day of the feast, that was the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if anyone is thirsty, see, until you're interested, wanting the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues enough that you consider, see, I got thirsty. I wanted it. I saw it. Now listen, I didn't understand it all. See, I wasn't raised in church. I was raised on the streets. But I remember I would be in church and get around people, and the Holy Spirit would start moving, and I knew something was happening. I could feel it. I could feel it all over me. And I became intrigued, and I thought, man, I want the Holy Ghost with the evidence of praying in other tongues. I want that. And I wanted it, and I wanted it. One day I was in my house and there was nobody there. I think Millie might have been at school. And I just said, Father, I'm asking you, just like the word says, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of, I want to pray in other tongues. And let him come unto me and drink. Now, have you ever seen anybody try to take a drink with their mouth shut? Doesn't work good. You have to open your mouth. Now, this is what you have to do. You have to be thirsty. You have to want the Holy Spirit. And then you come unto the Lord. I did this in my own home. You can do it in your home, or you could do it up here. Or you could pray for, if you have the baptism, you can pray for somebody else and they'll get it if they're thirsty. And you have to open your mouth. If you're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have to open your mouth. And the Bible says, if you'll open your mouth, and you just begin, I just begin to, I was drinking. And all of a sudden, and I begin to flow in that. And then I began to realize there's power in praying in tongues. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, I thank God I pray in tongues more than you all. And he also said, and I don't care what church it is, the word says, do not forbid the speaking in tongues. So every church that said, no, you can't do that here. And you just begin to flow. And I found out this. I could be listening to somebody telling me something. See, the anointing is taught and the anointing is caught. And all of a sudden, and in my inside of me, I'll just let that loose, that spirit. And I'll be praying in tongues, my mouth not even moving. And all of a sudden, like at your house, I wasn't picking on you. I just was telling you what I thought I saw in the spirit. And I think it was just about perfectly right on. And not only that, why share that with somebody that's not willing like you were? You were willing. Can I just share a little bit of that, what happened? You were having bad dreams again in this house, right? And see, you don't have to. Whenever you're having bad dreams and you feel like you're having bad luck or something bad, something oppressive is coming to you, thoughts seem to be coming to you that you really don't want to think, that's the devil. See, the devil can speak in your thought life. And you have to be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Seeing, who can I devour? Who's at a weak point right now? He's devoured me a lot. And I just, but you grow through those experiences. And all of a sudden, you realize that there's power. All of a sudden, you're praying with somebody, maybe a close friend. You know what? Doing that in church is only one little place. That can happen anywhere. It can happen at school. It can happen anywhere. It can happen at Walmart. And all of a sudden, you'll just be going along, and when you begin to move in the Spirit, the Word says to walk in the Spirit in Galatians, all of a sudden, you say, well, where am I getting this? That this is happening in their life. And you think, well, I'm not going to say that. But then all of a sudden it happens. It happens almost every day to me that you just say it. And all of a sudden when you say that, and the first time, it was a long time ago, I just begin to realize there's power in walking with God. There's power in the Holy Spirit. And it's power to help people. God wants to use you to help others. He wants to use you to help others in a way that only a believer can. Only somebody that's full of the Holy Spirit. And anybody can be full of the Holy Spirit. And everybody should be full of the Holy Spirit. And we commit this little 45 minutes to an hour here. Sometimes we go a few minutes over. But we're going to get our grapes hopefully just right on time this time. It's just amazing to move in the Spirit of God. See, if you're going to move in the Spirit of God and just feel like this is great being a Christian, you're going to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if anybody doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they want to, Kelly is so busy. I've never seen anybody so busy and so successful in the food ministry. I've never seen a church that can give away. Did you see that big, we each got one of those big turkeys. It's $9, $10, $11 at the, we just each got one. Remember the prime rib we just got? We're doing that all the time. Why is that? Because there's a special anointing on our pastor. And let me tell you something. We're here. I heard another statistic today. You've heard me say Arkansas, to the tune of 16.6%, is the most food needy. Now, Arkansas also is the top number one state for not enough prenatal care for babies in hospitals, places to go to get prenatal care. I didn't know that until I listened to the news. But look here. If you know the great physician, and just think about what you're a part of. Just think about this. Somebody asks you, how in the world, how are you able to give away that food like that? That's a good place to start. Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you how. And then you just begin to tell them and see if they're saved. And if they're not saved, get them saved. So you know what? You wouldn't believe how great life is. I got saved, and it changed my life. And my church has now become my family. And that's the way I feel about them. And we never know what's going to happen. It's all going to be good. And before you know it, I don't even remember when the first one was, the person that I asked, that I led in the sinner's prayer. But it makes you feel great. I've shared this recently. I led somebody to the Lord, the sinner's prayer, and they asked me, hey, would you take me to that secret place that you swim, and would you baptize me there? That was all in the same day. Now, they were pulling it out of me. That is exciting. If it's not just your sin, you know, I feel sorry for everybody in this room that has to come here. And I think there's probably a few kids, and maybe you have feel like you have to. Well, whoever's bringing you here, they're trying to make something out of you. They're not trying to hurt you. And Evan, I had the joy of raising you from you was about 9 months old. And we were always in church. We're always in Bible study every morning, right? Now, has that hurt you? Do you feel something bringing you back? Here's what the Word says. Train up a child in the way that they should go. When they get older, they'll come back. They'll come back. You know what? What if we're the most famous person, the best singer, have the most money, and we end up leaving this life and we're not born again? What does any of that mean if we're not born again? And anything that you see me or anybody else do here, you can do. In fact, I'm supposed to be teaching you how to do that, how to move in the Spirit. That's whatever our topic is and subject. In this 1 hour service, we're here, make no mistake about this, we're here to try to get people to flow in the Holy Spirit. And all I need is, who needs a word tonight? Anybody in here need a word from the Lord? If you do, just put your hand up. I'm going to come over there and give you a word from the Lord. That's a shocking thing to say to people. They don't believe it. Emmett Spencer. Okay. All right. Emmett Spencer, a good friend of mine. Many of you know him. He used to come here and preach all the time. He moved in the Spirit. When we were on the square many years ago, he saw in me that I needed to flow in giving people words more. And we were having a revival, and on the square there, we had over 100 people. I'd like to say 130, but that might not be, but the house was full. And he took me, and he made me give a word to every person in there. And you know what that did? That broke something off of me. And I've never had a problem since. All right, Tyler, well, stand up. Now, listen, watch, I want you to see how we're going to do this. Pastor Kelly, come on up here with me. Now, tell me, you must have something in mind. Your Aunt Nancy. Hey, girls, bring your microphone up here. You're going to help pray too, because you're going to catch this too. You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to look at me. You and you, you're going to share with your friends, and you're going to lay hands on your friends, and they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. Kayla, if you're around, come on in. Well, go. You've got to go potty. Go ahead, hon. I know the feeling. All right. Now, tell us so we understand what's happening here. I don't know what he's going to say.
Okay, she has...
you have Aunt Nancy.
Aunt Nancy, and she has cancer, and she went through her first round of chemo, and she's on her second round, and her white blood count's too high, and they won't do the treatment on her yet, so... It's too low. Sorry, it's too low. And so we need that to rise so she can get her second round of chemo going.
Yeah, and how old is Nancy?
I think 45.
Just a young person.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
just sir. Young. Yeah. Where does she live?
Danville.
Danville. So she lives in Arkansas here. Yes. Is she a person of faith?
Yes, sir.
Is she? Good. Well, we're going to lay hands and... pray for Nancy, and we're going to see if the Lord has anything further he wants to say to her, and we're going to pray that things line up, her body lines up, all the things that the doctors, and I've always believed in doctors, I have never told people to throw their medicine away. I take medicine, but before I ever even took medicine, I believed in people taking medicine. Why? It's in the Bible. In fact, Jacob had medicine, it was called balm, that he sent his boys to Egypt with to trade for food. It was medicine. So we're not against medicine here. We're not against doctors here. I've got my very own doctor. I love him, and I take medicine. And I'm not, you know what? Whatever it takes for me to go on, I'm not, I just not, Some people have super big problems with that. Some denominations, they believe if you take a doctor, you don't have any faith. Well, I beg to differ, okay? But anyhow, we're going to pray for Nancy. And Kelly, lay hands on this fella. And you guys lay hands. And if anybody in here, now look it, God may give anybody in this circle here something further to say, a word of encouragement, something as we pray. I'm going to pray, and Kelly's going to pray. And anybody that wants to pray, you don't have to pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, it's Aunt. We lift up Aunt Nancy in Danville. Father, we believe and declare that you can heal her. And we ask you, we send your healing power. For it's written in Psalm 107 in verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all the works of the devil. Father, we send your word right now to Nancy. Father, we just send your word that her body lines up and that she can live and not die. Lord, we just pray our best prayer. Now look here. How do I know what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. But when you're praying for somebody 45 years old, I reckon I just try to pray for them people to be healed. Now, as we're praying, if anybody here gets something to tell him, don't be afraid. I'm going to give you a moment to say it. Father, in Jesus' name, help Aunt Nancy. Help her, Lord God. Help her family. Is she a married woman? Help her. Does she have children? How old? Young? Adults? Young adults? Father, just help them. Everybody that loves her, Lord, put them to praying. Make them pray, Father. Make them pray like they maybe haven't prayed in a while because they love Nancy. Help, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Kelly, pray.
I want to talk to these girls for a minute because sure. I believe that it's so important that we teach them and that they understand. And you know, the word says that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And anytime somebody asks you to pray, they think enough of your prayer life to ask you to pray. And what I always do when I'm praying for somebody is I put myself right in their spot, and you pray like it's your aunt. Whatever you would pray for your own aunt, whatever you would pray for whoever, anytime somebody asks you to pray, you put yourself in that spot and you pray like you're praying it for your own self, and you connect with that prayer.
Okay.
So, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I plead the blood of Jesus right now over Nancy. And, Lord, I thank you for your word because your word is a promise. And so, Lord, I thank you, God, that the promise come alive right in her life. And, God, by your stripes, she is healed right now in the name of Jesus. And, God, nothing is too difficult for you. And so, God, I thank you that the miracle is not too difficult. So I speak it forth right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to every cell, and I tell it to line up with the word. And I call that cancer out right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And I loose healing to flow all through her body. God, I thank you, Lord, that a testimony is coming out of the test. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And just remember this here. She didn't do anything. This isn't from God at all. This is from the devil. It just is. Everything, all sickness is from the devil. It just is. It happened. There was no sickness on this earth until the devil came and intermingled with mankind. Does anybody feel like they have a word for Nancy? Anybody feel like that? Jill, anybody? All right. How about you, Kelly? Feel like you have anything for him? Take those, have her write them Bible verses, put them on her everywhere in her house, okay?